We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge spirit-filled warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, The Problems of Prejudice, from the series Walk Your Talk, and explores how the book of James challenges us to look beyond appearances and love without favoritism. Pastor Jeff will get started in just a moment, but first, we want to tell you that you can find many more resources to help you grow in your walk at PastorJeff.com. And that's also where you can sign up for weekly email devotions from Pastor Jeff. Visit PastorJeff.com today to sign up for encouragement right in your inbox. Now here's today's program.
Search me and try me, O Lord. Search me and try. Is there any area in my life where I show favoritism to somebody over somebody else, or I preference them or not them because of what you've done in me? And one of the ways and reasons that you know that you're saved is when this begins to dissipate. I remember after I got saved when I was 18 years old, and I went off to college, and I started hanging out with some people I would have never hung out with before because they loved Jesus. And I remember thinking one time, I'm like, I'm hanging out with this dude. I would have thought he was a nerd. I'm hanging out with this dude. But why? Because I love him. And even people that were hostile. You know what Jesus says about hostile people? Love them. Pray for those who persecute you. But they're saying all sorts of mean things. Well, you demonstrate Christ's love when you pray for them. You demonstrate Christ's love when you love them. That's okay. And your reward in heaven will be great for doing that. Because now you're modeling Jesus. See, it's one thing to teach doctrine and truth, which I obviously think is important, or I wouldn't do what I'm doing for a living and having all sorts of knowledge, because that tells us who God is. But all your non-Christian friends out there, they're not reading this book asking who God is. They're looking at you to see who God is. They're reading you. Are you loving? Are you kind? And my experience is, from the non-Christians I meet, they're not too quick to say, oh, you're a Christian? Oh my gosh, you guys are the most loving people in the world. I feel so accepted by you. Why is that? Because we quickly march to judgment rather than show the love of Christ. And that's what James is saying. If you're gonna walk your talk, don't change your conviction. God is holy. You live your convictions. Don't stop speaking about your convictions. Say your convictions, but don't dare go after an individual and make them feel bad because Christ died for them. Christ created them and Christ loves them. Amen? Our problem in loving other people is us. It's our own prejudice. Our prejudice is our sin. Now, if that's our sin, then what do we need to do? What's the solution? And it's simple. Christ is our example. Christ is our example. Notice verse 8. He says, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Now, you remember the royal law. Jesus spelled it out in more detail in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and following. He said, here's how you can sum up the whole law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You get that as yourself part? Love your neighbor in the same way you'd want to be loved. Treat them the same way you would want to be treated. Show generosity to them with the same measure of generosity you'd want. Show kindness to them with the same measure of kindness you'd want. Show urgency with them with the same kind of urgency you want. You love them in the same way you love yourself, right? Why are both parts of that equation important? Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you're not living on mission for Jesus Christ. You're not the example God wants you to be. So we're called to love each other. And how do we know how to love each other? Well, Jesus is our example, amen? Jesus is the one who showed us. Notice what he says in verse 10. He said, but if you show partiality, that's preferential treatment, that's personal favoritism, that's bias, that's prejudice. If you show partiality, you are committing sin and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. He's saying this, if you're biased in your heart, you're breaking God's law. You're not living out the commandments that God requires. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point has become guilty of all. Now, this is a theological truth when it comes to the Bible, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what it was. If it was a little white lie or it was sexual addiction, you've sinned, you've fallen short of God's glory. You're in need of his grace for repentance. You're in need of Christ. Doesn't matter how little, how big, right? But notice where this is situated. Notice what he's talking about. The command is go love other people in the same way that you yourself would want to be loved. If you're keeping all the other commandments and doing all the other things, but you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you're a lawbreaker. You're not obeying Christ's commands. How many people think they're just obeying the law of God because they go to church and they study the Bible and they're telling other people why they're wrong? And you're breaking the law. I mean, Christ's commands are, if you really love me, here's how it's going to be demonstrated in the way that you love others. I mean, here's good theology right here. How you treat other people is a demonstration of the God you say you believe in. Married people, listen up. Listen up. This is marriage 101. How you treat your spouse is a demonstration of the God that you say you believe in. Kids, how you treat your parents is a demonstration of who you believe the God you say you serve is. Parents, how you treat your kids, demonstration. How you treat your neighbor, right? So then we begin to ask questions like this. Well, where's the stop? Where's my influence stop? Who can I stop with? Because there's some people out there that drive me nuts. And that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because if you remember, for a Jew, the most important people in the day were the priests and the Levites. And when this guy was beaten up and left half dead, who comes by first when Jesus has this fictitious story he's making up, this parable? A priest and a Levite. They didn't do squat. But along came who? Samaritan. Why? Because Jews hated Samaritans. If Jesus was telling the story to you, who would be the two people that you value that walk on by? And then who would be the person he said, and along came the, what would he say to you? To the leader of the KKK, he would say, along came the African American. To Sean Hannity, he would say, along came the Democrat. To Rachel Maddow, he would say, along came Donald Trump. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, in our heart, we all have these things stored up. And even if we try to press them down, when we get them pushed, we can politicize it, we can massage it, we can make it. Nobody really sees how I really feel, but God sees and it comes out because you don't genuinely love that person because of your own prejudice. And there's no place for prejudice in the kingdom because all people are welcome from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And no matter what sin you've sinned, you're welcome at the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the body of Christ. So Christ is our example. So what did Christ do in his ministry? The only group of people he can meet, as we said before, was sinners. That's all he meant. So, I mean, he meets Zacchaeus, who's robbed people blind in his own town, says, I must eat at your house today. And Zacchaeus repents and gives half of his money back. He meets the woman caught in adultery and he says, woman, where are your accusers? So they're gone. He goes, I don't accuse you either. But the story doesn't end there. What's he say? Now go and sin no more. You know what you were doing was wrong, and I know what you were doing was wrong. He tells the woman in Samaria, you're right. You're telling me the truth. You don't have a husband. The fact is you've had five and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Good job. You answered correctly. He doesn't let people get away with their sin. Because sometimes when people hear a sermon like this, like, oh, pastor, we got to stay holy. Yeah, stay holy. Live for God. It doesn't mean that you can't be loving to another person. Holiness requires that you're loving to another person. Hold your standards and love others. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And Jesus modeled this all throughout his ministry. He even loved the Pharisees. He even loved the people that put him on the cross that were yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, which is exactly what you and I would have been calling had we been there. And even when he's on the cross, he's talking to his dad, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They want him dead. They didn't realize they were killing the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't realize he wasn't holding even that sin against them. How can we hold things against other people? How can we have unforgiveness in our heart? When Jesus Christ came out of heaven to earth and didn't hold anything against us, how then can we hold something against somebody else? Amen? Possible. I know this is convicting because I've been studying this all week and I've been convicted as I've been doing this. But you think about Jesus and he's like, here's how people are going to know that you're of me. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. But now Jesus says this, a new commandment I give you. Love one another even as I have loved you. So not only do you have to love people the way you would want to be loved, but you got to love people the way that Jesus would love them. And how am I going to do that? Because Colossians 1:28 says the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the one in you that's wanting to love the person across from you. He's the one wanting to do the work through you. He's the one wanting to come into your sphere of influence and let other people see what it's like to hold fast to holiness and hold strong to love all at the same time. That's what Jesus does. Amen? That's who he is. That's what he's telling us. And we see this all throughout the scriptures.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Problems of Prejudice, from the series Walk Your Talk, exploring how the book of James challenges us to look beyond appearances and love without favoritism. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, on the night Jesus was betrayed in John chapter 17, he prayed for unity in his church. No division, unity, that they would all be one. With the same unity that he had with his dad, which was perfect, that the church would have with each other so the world would know that Christ sent them and that he loved them. How's the world going to know that Jesus Christ is loving? Yeah, one is by worshiping the Lord and going vertical and praising his name and hearing his word and being obedient and doing all that. The other is by not having prejudice and bias so we can be united. I mean, you have real church. I mean, your prejudice against X, Y, and Z, some of the people you're prejudiced with are going to be in heaven with you for all eternity. They are. And on this side of heaven, what people want to see is they want to come into a group and see black, white, red, brown, all different color skin, all ages, you know, whether you're old, whether you're young. They want to see all sorts of different socioeconomic backgrounds. They want to see the whole gamut and see that everybody's welcome, and they can't figure out what is it that brings you all together. Then we got an opportunity to share. It's the blood of Jesus. It's his death on the cross. It's his resurrection from the dead. It's not us. It's him. We worship him. Do you want to come worship him too? He died for you as well. That's the church. That means people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, people from every background, people from every sin are welcome at the cross of Jesus to experience the full measure of grace and forgiveness. And we should never shut anybody out from that. Amen? Now, I don't have time to read this entire section, but I'd encourage you this week, if you want to be convicted about this, read 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. I'll just read a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." When you're genuinely loving other people that are different than you, and they're not holy, but you're still loving them, you know you're of God. "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." If you're not loving, you don't know the God of the Bible, no matter what you profess with your lips. "By this is the love of God. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." If you understand the gospel, if God's loved you with a radical love to forgive all of you, then we should be loving other people with the same kind of love. And he says this, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love each other, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." Now notice what he goes on to say at the end of this chapter. We love why? Because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God and hates his brother," which means I can't stand him, I disdain him, I'm prejudiced against him. Someone says he loves God and acts like that, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You can't love the God that you can't see if you don't love the people around you. Loving people around you is evidence that you love the God you can't see. And this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Who's our example? Christ. Love. Well, it's impossible for me to love them. Apart from Christ, it would be. But you can demonstrate love to people that think very differently and act very differently than you by still speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love because you care for their soul and you want to stay on mission. The question really becomes is, how do you love, honor, and esteem all those people that come into your path? Well, I got to know who they are first. No, that's the whole point. You just demonstrate it because of who you are in Christ. And if prejudice is our sin and our problem and Christ is our example, then how do I make application? It's like, what do you want me to do this week? And here's what God would tell us, that mercy is our application. Mercy is our application. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Grace is like, you don't deserve this. I'm giving it to you anyway. Mercy is, you do deserve this judgment. You do deserve this chastisement. You do deserve all that, but I'm going to relent. I'm not going to give it to you. That's mercy. Lord, have mercy. You are saved by the mercies of God as well. Right? Notice what he says. He says in verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor to the law. So again, remember what we talked about? You can't cherry pick which ones you're going to keep. You can't hear a message like this and say, yeah, I'm not really willing to apply mercy. I'm working on Bible study right now. I'm working on tithing right now. You know, if you are before a judge and you were convicted of murder and you were guilty of murder, and right before the judge was to pronounce sentencing for you, you said, time out, judge. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. I murdered him. But one thing you need to know, I've never committed adultery. Does that help? Here's what he's trying to say. One day you're going to stand in front of the judge of the universe, which is going to take everything into consideration. And you don't want to be standing before the Lord telling him how many Bible studies you were in and how much church attendance you had and all you did if you didn't demonstrate love to the ones in your sphere of influence. I'm all about knowing more about the Bible. I'm all about you growing in that. I want you to, but if you're brand new to the Bible and you really don't know anything except I just know that Jesus loves me and I just got saved and I know nothing about the Bible, if that's you, welcome. Here's how you can grow in your understanding of the Bible. Just start loving everybody around you. Start loving them. Well, how much is too much? You can't love too much. Ask your spouse when you get home what the limit is. Ask your kids, hey, have I loved you too much? Ask your neighbors, have I done too much for you? I mean, the reality is, no matter how much we give, we can always do more, right? So mercy is the application. Notice what he says in verse 12. So speak and so act. I mean, we've talked about this. If you're walking your talk, it means you're not only doing this, but you're telling people why you're doing this. It's important to speak the truth about Jesus. It's important to walk the truth about Jesus. It's important to walk the truth of Jesus. It's also important to speak the truth about Jesus. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. How are we judged? As Christians, we're judged by the law of liberty. The Ten Commandments were fulfilled in Christ. The law was fulfilled in Christ. He died. He's the fulfillment of the law. He died on the cross because we couldn't fulfill it. And he rose from the dead. And when we repent and turn to Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, and we have Christ in us, the fulfillment of the law, that's the law of liberty. How are we judged? We're all judged at what we do at the cross. Have you accepted responsibility for the fact that you're a sinner and you'll never, ever have a relationship with God? Have you repented of that and trusted Jesus as your only way to heaven? If you have, that's called the law of liberty. It means I don't have to run around every day. Did I do this right? Did I do that right? Am I doing this right? Forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free. That's the law of liberty. Act as though you're living like that. Act as one who's living like that. And then do what? What's he say in the next verse? He says in the very next verse, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Friends, we live in a culture that wants to judge everybody by every single word out of their mouth. You can't say one thing without somebody jumping all over that. You can't hang out with somebody that somebody doesn't like without them jumping all over that. We live in a world that if I walk into a room, we live in a world where somebody can say, hey, just your presence here offends me. That's the world we live in. I mean, judgment, 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 judgment. What do we have to do? You return it with mercy. It's spiritual judo. You can't do judgment for judgment. Doesn't work. Judgment. All right, cool. You can judge me. I'm already free. You know, Christ forgave my sin. He's willing to forgive yours too. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you. Right? That's how we can return. You get opportunities for mercy of not giving people what they do deserve. I mean, if you pray today and say, God, give me an opportunity, you'll have more opportunity than you can even handle this week. Go eat at a restaurant. I've discovered there's some people that serve at restaurants that are not gifted serving. And show them mercy. Showing them mercy does not mean you are horrible tonight and I'm still going to tip you because I'm a Christian. Mercy means give them a huge tip, tell them they did great, and move on your way because you're showing mercy because you love Jesus. Somebody mistreats you or they come after you. Just, you don't need, God, you saw it. I'm just giving them mercy. I'm not coming down on them. That's mercy. You look for opportunities for mercy, you'll have myriads of them all week long. And here's what you're going to think of your prejudice. Well, then when do they get theirs? Like, when are you going to punish them? But here's how we think as Christians. Punishment's coming because anybody that doesn't know Christ, there's a wrath that's coming you wouldn't want anybody to experience. Because it all takes place at the cross. Is what do you do at the cross? See, Jesus Christ died on the cross because of my sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross because of your sin. God, Jesus Christ died on the cross because of their sin outside the church. And God the Father is going to hold everyone eternally accountable for how they killed his son. That's why you need Jesus. You can be the most moral, whatever religion you want to be, but without Jesus, you have no hope because the wrath of God's going to come on you and the wrath of God's already over you, which is the message, which is why you need to turn from your sin and repent because God loves you so much. He provided a way for you that you could not provide for yourself. He gave you Jesus so you could come into a relationship with him. Amen? And that's when you start demonstrating mercy. Demonstrating mercy is also sticking up for other people. It's when other people are talking about others and judging others that you're not going to do that. I remember when I played football at the University of Illinois some years ago, I was coming out of a class and this guy walked up to me. We were in the same class together. And he said to me, he goes, Jeff, have you heard the one about the black guy who, and I said, hey, time out. I said, you should wait. I said, my roommate's black. And I said, he's going to be coming by here in just a few minutes. I said, he may enjoy this joke more than you. And he about swallowed his tongue and walked away. He never talked to me again the entire semester. What was I doing? I was giving him mercy. Like, don't you dare talk about another brother in Christ that way about me. I'm not celebrating that, right? That's what it means to be merciful. That's what it looks like. And if you pray for opportunities to show mercy to people, that's the people that don't deserve it. God, put somebody in my life that doesn't deserve any mercy this week so that I can show them that. I promise you he'll answer your prayer. It'll come at the worst time in the worst way, right? Go to DIA and stand in line. I mean, do something. Because God always does these things. I think that's why God has us go to the DMV once every 5 years just to renew our license so that we can practice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're looking for opportunities to dispense the mercy of God because of who you are in Christ, you're going to have myriads of opportunities all day long, every day. Because what did Jesus do? He loved the world so much, he was willing to suffer for the world. He loved the world so much, he was willing to die for the world. So if you really want to love people the way Jesus loved, don't be surprised when you suffer. Don't be surprised when you feel like, it's killing me. Well, you said you want to be more like Jesus. Now God's given you the opportunity, right? And you don't have to go looking very far. No matter who you are, if you want to live this out, if you recognize that prejudice is a problem in your heart, which it is, and you recognize that Christ is the answer because he can redeem you, he can change you, and you're willing to be a dispenser of the mercy of God to other people, that's how you begin to walk your talk too. And God will give you opportunities so that when people are around you, they'll say, I know you're steeped in your conviction and I know you believe what you believe, but why is it you love me so much? Why is it you're kind to me? Why is it you're generous to me? I know you don't believe what I believe. I know you don't appreciate what I do. I know you don't like the way that I vote, but when I'm around you, you've been candid about that, but you haven't stopped treating me with honor and dignity and respect. What is that? Well, that's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what the world's looking for. Not more mouthpieces without action, mouthpieces with action that demonstrate the love of Christ to a dying world.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Problems of Prejudice, from the series Walk Your Talk, exploring how the book of James challenges us to look beyond appearances and love without favoritism. Before you go, remember that your support keeps this program going and helps bring bold, biblical teaching to listeners like you. To give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, go to PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, remember to sign up for email updates from Brave so you never miss new resources designed to equip you for courageous living. That's PastorJeff.com. Thank you for joining us today.